All right. Good morning again, everybody. I want to say a shout out to everybody over at our East York campus and also in our gathering services. And we trust that this will be just a wonderful day as we talk about some of the things we've learned in our grace series and as we worship the Lord and receive communion as well at all of our venues. God bless all of you today. Well, if you have your Bible, let's turn together to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the aroma of grace, how grace has a certain aroma and smell to it. For the last 25 or so years, I've worn a certain cologne called Royal Musk. It's hard to find. I'm not sure where I got it. It's kind of like this classic British scent with a little bit of musk thrown in. It's my favorite. My wife has always liked it, which is one of the reasons why I kept wearing it all those years. But I also have a daughter, and I have a couple daughters-in-law whose aim it's been down through the years to keep Dad in style with his clothing and, as it turns out, even with his cologne. And so a couple of years ago, one of them kind of, actually not a couple, about sometime this past year, one of them kind of let it slip that my cologne that I used to wear smelled like, quote, an old guy's cologne. So you all know how I feel about that. That's just like, was like a knife to my heart and all that. But anyway, yeah, my daughter kind of set out to change that. And so at, I guess, my birthday this past year, she got me a new cologne called Nautica Voyage. And it is amazing how I feel 20 years younger now that I wear that cologne. But you know, there is, my tongue is firmly in my cheek on that one today. But there is really something about a smell, isn't it, that kind of does something to us. Like certain smells, I know when I'm around wood and stuff, certain smells take me back to the high school wood shop that I spent a lot of time in down through the years. I used to go to the gym, and even today, you know, smelling certain things about the gym kind of just makes me want to go out and run a 5K. Sometimes when I walk in the woods during the fall, don't you love how the woods smell in the fall? You know, the leaves are kind of down and it's just amazing smell about it. Spring has a great smell about it, you know, and for those of us who live out in Spring Grove, we love that smell of money, you know, that we smell from time to time. But you know, this morning we're bringing our series on grace to an end, and one of the things that I think Paul wants to say to us on this final Sunday is that even grace has a smell to it. Have you smelled grace this summer as we have thought about it and gone through it? And so here in the book of 2 Corinthians, I think that 2 Corinthians, really, if you want to kind of think about the theme of 2 Corinthians, it really is a life and a ministry that is fueled by the grace of God. Paul was in some trouble when he wrote 2 Corinthians. There were people who were kind of beginning to come against him, and he had to kind of defend himself a little bit, sadly. But then here in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning at verse 14, Paul says something, I think, that is powerful. It's challenging. It's peculiar. It's even interesting. And I have the words as well on the screen for those of you who might be new to the Bible. Here's what he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Paul says, "Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us," you ought to underline that today if you're a Christ follower, "through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." And then the 15th verse, Paul says, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ." Wow. We are to God, the way we live our lives, the way we take Christ with us, the way we smile at people, the things that we think about and pray about and meditate upon. We are to God the aroma, the smell, the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is actually describing here in those verses, when he uses the word procession there, he's describing the triumphal procession that would happen through the streets of Rome when the Roman army would conquer a new territory. Look at that. We have a picture of when it happened there. And as I did some reading about this, this was a huge affair. When the army would conquer a new territory, they would come back, and they would have these big parades, and first in line was usually the Senate and the state officials, and then came next the musicians and the trumpeters, and then it was followed by the spoils of war, right? The things they captured, the gold and the cash and the princes and the generals, and oftentimes they were in chains, and they were at the end of the parade sometimes, and everybody knew that when the parade was over, they'd be getting their heads cut off. And then at the end of the parade, a lot of times there were the priests, and they would have these censers full of incense, and they would be kind of like moving them and wafting them around. And the whole atmosphere, the whole parade had this amazing smell. And then finally at the end, the general himself and his family and his staff and all that stuff came up through. But they say that it was the fragrance. It was the aroma of that parade that kind of stood out to everyone. That smell would waft over everyone equally, those who were triumphant and those who had been triumphed against. It's one of the reasons why Paul goes on there in the second chapter in verse 15 when he says that we are to God the aroma of Christ. He said, among those who are being saved and those who are perishing, to the one we are the smell of death, and to the other, the fragrance of life, and who is equal to such a task? And that's true, isn't it? When we live our lives in front of this world, we are that same fragrance to people that we touch. We are one smell to fellow Christ followers. They recognize that smell right away. But then we are another smell, right, to those who don't follow Jesus Christ. They don't always recognize that smell and who we are in Jesus. But the point being that we are this aroma of Christ, this fragrance, this cologne, if you will, that we take with us wherever we go. So I have it in your notes this morning. I want you to ask yourself this question. How do I smell to the people around me? It's a great question, isn't it? What kind of aroma do I have? What kind of difference do I make when I enter a room? How about when you show up at a meeting at work? Is there something different that happens in the room? How about when you walk into the office tomorrow? Will there be something different about the office because you are there as a Christ follower? Do you take with you the aroma of grace? Does the room feel differently because we are there? Are people encouraged? Are people actually led to look to Jesus Christ? Are they led to have a different perspective about what's going on because you and I are in that room? It's an amazing question. And it's really kind of against this background and backdrop today that we want to conclude our series in grace. You know what I think? I think God met us in a very unique way this summer in this series. I know in my own personal life, I'm going to talk about that in just a second, it was so good for me to think about grace this summer. And I've heard from so many of you as well. And so that's why today, hey, folks in the gathering and those of you in East York as well, and all of our venues today, you are going to actually help me preach this sermon because you are going to share what God has done in your heart and life and how God's grace has touched you this summer. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, John actually writes these words about us. John chapter 1 and verse 16. Listen to these words. John says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. I wonder if that's the testimony of your heart and life. Literally, when John says one blessing after another, in the original language, it literally means this, that we have received grace after grace. I think the King James actually gets it right. from the fullness of His grace, we have all received one bit of grace after grace. My friend Gladys sent me a little note not too long ago about grace, and she said this: grace is simply another word for His tumbling, rumbling reservoir of strength and protection. It comes at us not occasionally or miserly, but constantly and aggressively, wave upon wave. We barely regained our balance from one breaker when, bam, here comes another breaker. Grace upon grace. I like that. And so to kind of get the pump primed a little bit today, let's just spend a few minutes here in our notes considering some of the gifts and some of the things that grace has done for us. And so you have it there in your notes. First of all, grace, we learned this summer, grace saves us, right? We are saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Grace changes us. Grace, we learn, keeps us. It redeems us. Grace sustains us. We looked at that powerful passage in Genesis 39 through the person of Joseph, how grace empowers us. And Pastor Jeremy reminded us that one day grace is going to be the thing that takes us to heaven. And then consider some of these things as well in your notes. If you own a Bible, I don't know about you, but I think I own about 6 or 7 of them. But if you own just one Bible, you and I are abundantly blessed. You know that most people in the world don't have a Bible. It really smacked me in the face this past year when I was in India and saw that just with my very own eyes. Also today, if you woke up more healthy than ill, you're better than at least nearly 1 million. Every single week in our year, 1 million people pass into eternity. Most of us here today had breakfast, right? And so if you have food in your fridge, maybe some of you college students, it might look a little bare right now, but you have clothes on your back, a roof over your head. Do you know that if that's the case about your life and mine, that we are richer than 75% of this world? Imagine that, just those three things right there. And finally, if you have money in the bank, if you're sitting here today and you have money in your wallet, or some people don't carry money anymore, you got a credit card in your wallet, right? If you have money stacked in a jar somewhere at home like I do, you're among the top 8% of the wealthiest people in our world. All of that is grace. Now, we live in this world where people complain about everything. Some people actually think they have the spiritual gift of complaining, you know? And so, you know, there are actually websites. I learned this past week. There are websites that are designed for complaining. Those of you who love to complain, you ought to go to those websites. There's one that's called the Complaint Station. It claims to have 5 million whiners who show up on a regular basis, and you can complain about anything there. You can complain about your neighbor, your pastor, the airlines, your mother-in-law, since you can't do it to her face, right? Potholes. You can complain, all these things, but we're not going to do that today. In fact, here's what we're going to think about. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12, and verse 24, Samuel says this: consider what great things the Lord has done for you. And so I guess, as I said, today in all of our venues, we're going to give thanks to and for the grace of God. And I want to just kind of get us started here today. Many of you know that our family walked through some dark days this summer. And we're still walking through them in some ways. But I want to tell you something. We have come through those dark days in one piece for one reason. And that's the sustaining grace of God. And so, you know, each day as I've walked with God, as I read God's word, I like to go on walks, and as I've interacted with my family, as I've received, I think it's, the pile is up to here now of cards from many of you here in this place. One of the things that's happened to me is that the heaviness of my grief has lost its grip on my heart. That's a great thing to be able to say, as the grace of God has enabled us and caused the load to get lighter every day. I'm not saying it's been a breeze, but it's been good. It's been good. I've been in very close contact with my brother's family, and they've said the same thing. And it really is true what Jesus said to Paul, and we looked at it a couple weeks ago. He said, my grace will be sufficient for you, no matter what it is that you have to walk through. My grace will get you through that, because my power is made perfect in weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong. And so in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about that in all of our venues. May God bless each of us today as we celebrate the amazing and glorious grace of God. Let's bow together here for just a moment. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to think about, Lord, these things. And I thank you for the aroma. And I pray that in all of our venues today, Lord, that the aroma of your grace would waft over us as we ponder and as we give thanks for all that you have done. We ask these things in Christ's great name. Amen.